Broadcasting live from the Biz 1190 studios in Atlanta, Georgia. It's time for the Business Radio X Week in Review. We know you're busy, so we've got you covered. Catch up on the week's top Atlanta business headlines and meet the industry execs and thought leaders who move Atlanta's bottom line. Now, here's your host, Dana Barrett.
All right, good afternoon. It's Sunday, February 2nd, 2014. I feel like it was, it's Groundhog Day and Super Bowl Sunday. It's a big day. These are two things I care deeply about, by the way, Groundhog Day and Super Bowl Sunday. This is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and with me today, as always, producer Mike Roy. How are you, sir?
Oh, I'm fine. For a second, I forgot how to push my button here, but yeah, I'm doing okay.
Well, you haven't forgotten how to push my buttons, so there's that.
Yes.
Ba-dum-bum-tsh. Okay. The number here in the studio, 404-231-1190. You can tweet your comments to us, either directly to me at Dana H. Barrett or with the hashtag BizRadio. That's B-I-Z Radio. As always, we have some great clips from this week's Business Radio X broadcasts, along with lots of stuff to talk about. I mean, we would be remiss if we did not talk about Snow Jam 2014. And Mike immediately goes to look for some sound effects for that. I can see it. He's just excited. Oh, no. The buzzer. That's very sad.
No, it was a sad week.
It was a very interesting week. And we're going to talk about it. We're also going to talk about sort of the business side of the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl ads, which have become almost a bigger to-do than the Super Bowl itself. Between the halftime show and the ads, I don't know how many people actually watch it because of the game and how many people just enjoy the sort of whole tradition of nonsense that sort of surrounds it. You know, it's now become one of the biggest party afternoons and evenings of the year, Super Bowl. You know, everybody has to go buy their new flat screen TV, the big screen, and get their snacks going. And, you know, all the morning shows this week on all the major networks on TV were showing recipes for, you know, for snacks. And, you know, it's like your excuse to eat fried foods, you know, and heavily indulge in beer, I think, right, along with the commercials. So we're going to talk about all of that. You know, there's so much going on right now. I went to a luncheon this week. The Atlanta Press Club had a newsmaker luncheon, they call it, and conveniently Mayor Kasim Reed was booked to speak. And he was booked to speak before Snow Jam 2014 happened. So he obviously had to sort of rethink his speech a bit and be prepared to discuss and answer questions regarding the snow.
I'm sure there were many, many questions or...
Yeah, well, it was what you would expect.
Or maybe comments.
And I jotted down a lot of notes that I will share with you about what he said and how it was said. And also just some of the other things he talked about, which he had originally planned to talk about, his agenda sort of for the coming year and how it will affect us in the business community and just, you know, as citizens. All right, before we get into all that, I think I want to share, you know, there's also a lot of headlines, by the way. I know half of our goal here, it should be our whole goal, is to catch you up on things you missed last week. But then I get sidetracked by all the other things I want to talk about. So there's a lot of headlines, too. And one of the things that we sort of like to focus on in Atlanta is our tech community and cool technologies and cool apps and cool stuff in general. So along those lines, I want to share with you, in case you missed it, that the company AirWatch, which we have talked about before, was sort of on the brink of going public. They were doing a lot of hiring last year. They still plan to continue to hire into this year, but they have now been acquired by another company called VMware. So instead of going public, they were acquired, which is interesting because one of the things that we sort of complain about in Atlanta is that we build some great tech companies and we can't seem to get them to the public stage. They end up getting acquired or, you know, bought out or however you want to term that before that happens, before they have their IPO. So anyway, VMware acquires AirWatch. They paid more than $1.5 billion for the company, so I'm sure the guys that started AirWatch are pretty happy about that. We have more later in the program about when companies merge and acquire and sort of what happens to the companies involved. So we'll talk about that a little bit in the next segment. But first, I also want to share some cool technology with you. One is... that AT&T is working on a technology that could make business cards obsolete. This is fraught with a lot of problems. If you think it through, there's a lot of privacy. Basically, what they're talking about is being able to sort of share your information, cell phone to cell phone or smartphone to smartphone, I should say. And, you know, there are some technologies that already do this, but they're pretty limited. they're talking about sort of making this a more robust technology, but the privacy immediately comes into it. How much do you share? How much access do people get to your, and who can come along and sort of use that channel, if you will, to get into your phone and steal more of your information. So they're going to be really careful, but it's on the horizon. Patents have been filed and all that stuff. So keep your eyes out for that. And we also have in today's clip, an interesting technology that I want to share. This is a company. Well, first of all, let me back up. This clip is from our Results Matter show, which happened on Tuesday morning, just prior to Snow Jam 2014. The show is hosted by Lee Cantor and Stone Payton, and they had on a company called Park Mobile. I don't know if you've noticed signs for Park Mobile as you've been parking around Atlanta, but this is a really cool technology. They had Lawrence Eckelboom and Tina Dwyer, both from Park Mobile, on, and in this clip, they explain the technology, which I think is super cool. So take a listen.
We are a mobile payment provider for parking, helping you to pay for parking in a smart and fun way. Paying is never fun, but you better make it easy, and that's what we do. So instead of fumbling with coins or credit cards at a meter, you can download our app, register first, put a payment method on file, and then you pay through your smartphone. And especially when it's cold outside, like today, you can just start your parking transaction in your car. So.
So what about, you know, some places they only limit you to a certain number of hours. Can I kind of reload the thing from my office as well, or do I have to be right next to the parking spot?
No, not at all. You can extend your parking transaction, put some extra money in there from the comfort of your meeting room or restaurant or wherever you are.
Wow.
Now, is there some way that I can know the places, like if I'm headed in a certain section of town, is there some place, some way that I can find out fairly easily where are the places that will accept my my mobile payments?
Your Park Mobile mobile payment?
Yes.
Absolutely. We've actually got a GPS functionality built into the app.
Oh, sweet.
So it will tell you what available zones are services available. So say, for instance, we're out here at Atlantic Station, you'll be able to, you know, pull up on in our actual app, and it'll kind of indicate some of the heat maps where our zones are available. We're also available right around the corner at Georgia Tech as well, too. So you've got that wayfinding capability built within the app.
Can it tell me if there's an open spot?
Unfortunately, our app does not do that at the time. There are some apps that are, you know, if you will, wayfinding apps that will allow you to see what parking spaces are available.
Right.
And we have partnered up with some of those as well, too.
So it's not something that we do now, but we'll offer it very soon.
All right. Again, that was from the Results Matter show on BusinessRadioX.com. That was Lawrence Eckelboom and Tina Dwyer from Park Mobile. I think it's a really cool technology. And I have to tell you that Saturday night, Friday night, I forget already, one night this weekend, we went into Midtown to go to the Fox to see the Book of Mormon, and which I very much enjoyed. But anyway, we parked in a parking lot that had signs for Park Mobile. So they do have it. Now, I haven't downloaded the app, but it sounds like a really cool idea. I mean, the idea that, you know, I'll tell you what happened. So we park in this parking lot for Book of Mormon, and then we get out of our car and we have to go stand in line to wait at one of those machines to pay for our space, right? And then you get the ticket once you pay, and you have to go back and put it on your dashboard. So if you just pay with Park Mobile, you don't have to do any of that. You can do it from your car, which is pretty cool, especially if it's cold or rainy, or, you know, you're in the middle of Snow Jam or whatever the case may be. So that was pretty cool. But anyway, check out the technology and check out the rest of the Results Matter show when you get a chance. We'll have another clip from that show coming up in our next segment. Before we move too far away from the beginning of the show, if you will, I want to talk to you about, so one of the things that I think was really in question in Atlanta as it relates to the snow is leadership. That was something that, you know, they were like, everybody was sort of looking to Mayor Reed to be the voice of Atlanta. And in fairness to him, he is the mayor of the city of Atlanta. He is not in charge of the entire metro Atlanta region. And people were sort of holding him accountable for what happened all across the region, and which he's not. And of course, Governor Deal also involved, and everybody playing the blame game a bit and all of that. And so leadership really, I think, in question. And that is my segue to tell you about a book signing coming up at the Barnes & Noble in Buckhead on Tuesday, February 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. It's a book by a guy named Dr. Tim Irwin, who is from Atlanta. He's an organizational psychologist and Fortune 500 leadership consultant. And he has a book out called Impact. And the subtitle is Great Leadership Changes Everything. So kind of relevant to what's been going on around town. Anyway, he'll be signing copies of the book again at the Barnes & Noble in Buckhead on Tuesday, February 4th from 6 to 8 p.m. So go check that out if you like business books, which I am sort of randomly addicted to. I have not read this one yet, but I intend to. And once I have, I will give you more information about it and possibly even get a little clip of an interview with him. We'll see. I know. Woohoo! Everybody get excited.
I'm going to hold you that promise.
Okay. I'm pretty good about keeping my promises. I think I'm not going to say I have 100% success rate in that department, but maybe like 90%.
At least more than half.
More than half. I think I'm better than 50% for sure. All right. Before we go to break, Mike and I were talking while we were running that clip about the Super Bowl commercials. He asked me if I was going to watch the Super Bowl. And I was saying, well, I already watched some of the commercials online on Hulu, which is kind of, doesn't that sort of, you know, ruin the whole thing if you can see them ahead of time?
Well, have they been doing this for a while on Hulu?
I don't know. I think so.
I didn't know this.
I didn't either. I happened to get an email about it this morning. So I clicked over and I watched a couple. Some of them were just previews of the commercial, not the whole commercial. But the funniest part is that there were commercials within the commercials. Like there were commercials in between the commercials.
Well, that's weird because some people watch the Super Bowl just for the commercials. They couldn't care less about the football game.
Right. So now you can just go on Hulu and see some of them.
So there's no need to tune in at all now.
I mean, I'm telling you. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we get back, more on the Super Bowl, more on Snow Jam, Snowpocalypse, Snowpalooza 2014. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and I just got criticized on Twitter by some listeners. Gotta love it. This is what they said. Why not take MARTA to the Fox? Save money on parking fees. Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I've been admonished, but, you know, in fairness to me and most of the other people who did drive to the Fox, the MARTA system doesn't really go enough places. And while it is relatively close to where I live, when it's cold or you're dressed up and there's ice on the sidewalks like there was that night, you don't really want to be slip-sliding your way over to the MARTA station. And I'm sorry, I know that's wrong. But, you know, the public transportation or transportation in Atlanta is a hot topic. You know, we had that whole TSPLOS thing last year trying to get, you know, transportation improvements, money for transportation improvements, which was, you know, voted down. And, you know, when we're talking about this whole snow jam thing, you know, and Mike even said this on the commercial break, one of the funniest things about it is that the snow itself wasn't that bad. It was 2 inches of snow. We've had ice storms in Atlanta where the trees are completely covered in icicles and power lines are falling down and people are without power and the roads are all that stuff. And this time it really wasn't that bad in terms of the snow itself. You know, yes, we don't have the right amount of salt spreaders in the city to try to prevent the icing. And we do get a lot of problems with ice on our roads, on our bridges, anywhere it's shady. I mean, this is a real issue for us. But the bigger problem here was the cluster that is our transportation or lack thereof. Everybody, what happened is that, and this could happen whether it was snow, whether it was some other kind of emergency, everybody got on the road within the same hour block. And we just do not have the infrastructure to handle that. And part of the problem is, thank you, my Twitter friends, that we don't have adequate public transportation in this city. The train just doesn't get to enough places. So not enough people are taking it to get where they need to go. So there were people, absolutely, who walked home because they worked close enough to their homes. There were people who got on MARTA and got home in a timely manner. I sat in the car for 5 hours like a ding dong. I went to lunch on Tuesday at 12:30 in Midtown, having no idea. Like, it was already starting to snow, but I didn't think twice about it.
Yeah, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything. We've had several times where it snowed and nothing was thought about it.
Right.
Where it just stopped afterwards and got warmer again.
Very interesting. So so I went to this luncheon where the mayor spoke on Thursday or Friday. I already forget what day it was, but I took notes the entire time because I knew you all would want to know what he had to say. First of all, I got to tell you that the first time I saw the mayor appear after Snow Jam or during Snow Jam, I guess, I love the name, by the way, too. Every incident in America now, maybe worldwide, has to have like some cutesy name. Why is that? Snow Jam. Why can't we just call it the snowstorm of 2014?
Exactly. I don't think snow jam is really appropriate here. I don't think anybody had fun with it.
Well, maybe I think they mean jam, like traffic jam.
Oh, well, jam to me that sounds like a happy, like a
or it
festival.
Could be like, you know, snow jam on toast. I don't know. Anyway, so here's what I'm saying. The mayor, when I first saw him, I was on CNN the morning after, so Wednesday morning, and he was very defensive. I don't know why that. I don't know why he felt the need to take that posture, because when I saw him speak later in the week, he was obviously had calmed down and was more prepared. And certainly Carol Costello, the CNN anchor who was interviewing him, was sort of coming at him pretty aggressively. Hey, mayor, everybody's mad at you. Okay, hey, mayor, is this your fault? You know, he was talking over her. He was very defensive. And I was sort of like, no, stop doing that, because it just made him look worse. Whereas at the luncheon, he sort of got some laughs. He poked fun at himself. He did take responsibility, though he was still a teensy bit defensive, not going to lie. But, you know, and there were obviously a lot of things that happened. It was sort of several people called it the perfect storm of things going wrong. If the snow had started at 7 o'clock in the morning, things might have been very different.
Which, to be fair, normally it doesn't start in the middle of the day.
Right. It's an odd.
It's usually when it's the warmest time of the day.
Right. Or if it had started during the night. You know, things would have been different.
They would have had more time to prepare.
Here's what I think is part of the problem, too. Aside from the fact that, and there was there's lots of great articles out on the web about what happened and why it happened. So I definitely recommend that you go read some of the articles. The Rebecca Burns article in Politico magazine was a really good one. Thanks to Will for sending me that. But anyway, you know, there are a lot of things that are problems here. We have a lot of municipalities. We have a lot of counties, cities that are all making their own decisions about school closures and government closures and all of those kinds of things. The mayor of the city of Atlanta is sort of our, you know, our focal point. And he did say that next time this happens, he will be more decisive and he will come out earlier. Though he also sort of said, well, things changed between 3 and 4 in the morning. Well, that's no excuse. That was 3 and 4 in the morning was way before the problem happened. So you could have come out at 7 in the morning and said, hey, everybody, stay home. That didn't happen. So
it didn't look that bad at that time. And we've had a lot of close calls, I guess, with regards to winter storms. So, yeah. I don't know. It was a tough situation all around.
A very interesting situation. And one of the funny things to me is the blame game. This is something we love to do in this country. Yeah. Heaven forbid we just, you know, say stuff happens, maybe with a different four-letter word, and fix it and move on. No, we are constantly looking. We spend tons of money, congressional money, to do, you know, review things and look back at things and find out who's to blame and put the blame on somebody.
They pointed the blame at the meteorologist who didn't predict it earlier.
Is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. The meteorologist did, in fact, predict the snow. And it's ridiculous to blame the meteorologist. Come on.
No, I agree.
And the meteorologists were not so happy about that. I have a friend who's a meteorologist here in town who was like shaking her head and throwing her hands up in
them.
The air.
They should not be getting any of this.
It's ridiculous. Yeah. It's completely ridiculous. But at the same time, it's somewhat ridiculous to blame the mayor.
I agree.
He's one man. He could have done more. Yes. The governor could have done more. Sure. But who really, in the end of the day, is that what we need to be worried about, whose fault it was? No. What we really need to be worried about is making sure it never happens again. And to that end, the mayor did say some interesting things, and I will get into a little more detail on what he is proposing going forward. But I'll do that after in our next segment, because I do want to share a clip, this segment from Business Radio X. This is another clip from the Results Matter show. I'm just completely changing gears, everybody, so stay with me on this. But this is a guy named Stephen Atkins, who's the chief operating officer for the Southeast region of the McCart Group. I think I'm saying it right. I didn't type it up correctly. But anyway, they've just been purchased by a company called Epic, and he's talking about mergers and acquisitions and all that. So take a listen.
So, you know, when we were looking to expand beyond just the organic growth that we had a very successful track record at, we were looking for a partner with certain characteristics, certain way of doing business. Epic at the time was looking to expand their national platform as well. And so over the course of about a year, the two firms compared notes, compared resources, compared leadership teams, philosophies, how we do business, how we want to do business in the future. And the culmination of that is on January 6th, we became part of Epic.
Now, what's that like when you're thinking on one hand you want to expand and then another firm you run into, you find philosophically aligned? How do you take that step of saying, hey, you know what, maybe we should be joining forces?
Yeah, just a little historical perspective. I'll tell you that we had probably no less than a dozen of these type opportunities over the last several years.
Mm-hmm.
Firms knocking on our door looking to say, we'd like to acquire you. We'd like to partner with you. And we really never heard the right story. And the right story was is that we were aligned in terms of how we would operate, how we would serve our clients, that all of our people would remain in place, that our leadership team would remain in place. And so it's a process of getting to know not just what are the financial characteristics of the deal, but what is the operational platform.
Right. It sounds like the culture is an important component to this.
Critically important. I would say that no matter what the financial terms were of any deal, if there was not a cultural fit and there was not a next step in terms of how the business would operate, we would have, and indeed we have said no to many of those types of opportunities.
All right. Again, that was the Results Matter radio show on BusinessRadioX.com. You can listen to the whole interview by going to BusinessRadioX.com. I think it's resultsmatterradio.businessradiox.com for that show. The reason I wanted to play that particular clip is because I also talked about earlier in the show about the VMware acquisition of AirWatch. And so mergers and acquisitions are always interesting to me. You know, Stephen Atkins talked about trying to do the right thing for their company's culture and their employees as they decided who they would let buy them, essentially, right? But I've worked at companies that have been acquired before, and I sort of think, and I'm just going to put this out there as food for thought before we go to break, but I sort of think that no matter how good your intentions are, when you sell your company, or when you, you know, get into an acquisition situation where you are the lesser of the two companies, even if you have something in writing about what they're going to do and how they're going to leave things alone and all of that, that expires after some period of time, and your employees are really not protected, and your culture is not really protected, and your brand name is not protected. And so I just think it's interesting. I do appreciate that people try to do the right thing, but I wonder in how many circumstances does that really work? All right, we're going to take a quick break as you ponder that. When we come back, more on what the mayor had to say about Snow Jam 2014 and more on the Super Bowl ads. We'll be right back. All right, it is the Business Radio X Week in Review. I am your chief complainer today, Dana Barrett, and Mike Roy helping me out as complainer number two. And,
I don't hold a candle to your complaining.
I know, it's true.
It's a soapbox show.
That's true. I'm quite good at it. My mother always said, you know, if I was good at one thing, it was complaining. She was right. I want to share, I talked about hearing the mayor speak, and, you know, instead of just complaining about what happened, like I often like to do, I want to share some of the things he talked about in terms of what we are going to do going forward. Someone pointed out at the luncheon that we may just have another ice situation coming up in the next 6 to 10 days. I mean, the weather forecast seems to have changed a bit. I don't see which day that's going to fall on, but it's possible as the temperatures, you know, go below freezing and we're going to have rain. So who knows? Anyway, here's what he said. He said his plans going forward are one, to do a comprehensive review of exactly what happened, so where the decisions were made that could have been made differently. He also said, and this was sort of his big platform here, he was going to put a working committee together. He kept calling it a working committee that will come up with an official emergency procedure protocol. And what he talked about, it's interesting because, and if you think about it, one of the criticisms was that the leaving of work and school and all that should have been staggered. But one of the things that the mayor pointed out is we've never staggered. It's not like we had a staggered plan and we just didn't use it. We don't have that plan. That plan doesn't exist. So obviously now we know we need that plan, because if we again find ourselves in a situation where we've waited too long and we did not close the schools the night before or the morning of, and everyone's at school and the snow comes, what do we do? Well, now hopefully we'll actually have some kind of staggered plan that will be available. One of the big issues is that we're not regional here. We're very municipality focused. City of Atlanta does what it wants. City of Marietta does what it wants, and Roswell and Alpharetta and DeKalb County and Fulton County. Everybody has sort of their own jurisdictions and they do what they want. And so another big part of his plan going forward is to sort of try to get some more regionalism and, you know, get some agreement about how to work together when these things happen, because that was a lot of problem. Parents, you know, who are working in the city of Atlanta are trying to get out to Cobb County to pick up their kids to get and then go across, you know, to get home or whatever. Or parents who work in Alpharetta are driving across to Cobb to get, you know, or whatever. You know, people were sort of going all over the place.
Well, you touched on it. There should never have been school on Tuesday.
Correct. There should never have been school.
If there's a prediction of any kind of snow, we're at the point now where you need to cancel for the whole day, especially if it's expecting to fall in the middle of the day when you're already there. A lot of kids spent the night in school.
I know. It's crazy. But you know what's funny about that is, and I've heard a lot of commentary on this, some people say, you know, we get criticized here in Atlanta by the rest of the world when we close school for 2 inches of snow. Everybody sort of like raises their eyebrows and says, what's wrong with you, Atlanta? Why are you closing when there's only going to be 2 inches of snow? We go to work when there's 7 inches of snow here in, you know, Boston or whatever, right? But and also the parents complain, right? Because there's only a certain amount of snow days. And if they use up all the snow days, then they have to, you know, then they have to not have President's Day off or whatever. And the parents had a vacation plan and they gripe to the school boards that they didn't get to take their vacation and this and that. So it's a really interesting, delicate balance of making that decision to close school. But clearly in this case, they should have and they didn't. Okay, so he's got his working committee now. I don't know if you caught The Daily Show. I'm not sure how many of our listeners cross over to The Daily Show here, but apparently Jon Stewart, and I didn't catch this episode, sort of made fun of Atlanta saying, you people, hello, the Weather Channel is in your city and you didn't know? Come on. Now, the mayor says he's not giving Jon Stewart credit for this, but the Weather Channel actually will be a part of this working committee that he's putting together. So he's not giving Jon Stewart credit exactly, but he did refer to that in his talk. Also, now this always interests me. They're going to hire what they're calling an Atlanta Emergency Management Executive. So here I'm going to put my Doubting Thomas hat on and say they're going to bring in somebody who gets paid a really big salary to do something that, I don't know. Really? Is hiring one high-paid person the solution? I don't know. I'm going to wait and see what happens with
that. Take it with a grain of salt.
Yeah, I'm going to see because, you know, he is also asking the city council to devote some more money to getting some more spreaders, because apparently what happened is after Snow Jam 2011, we increased the number of pieces of equipment we had to deal with snow pretty significantly, but we didn't do it right because we got more plows than we did spreaders. And what we really need in this town is spreaders. We need the salt out there to try to keep the ice off the road.
Well, another problem is, and correct me if I'm wrong, but we haven't really had any snow or ice since 2011, at least not to this magnitude.
No,
the problem with spending so much money on all that stuff is that we only get stuff like this every few years.
Yes, although the mayor did openly state that climate change is upon us, and he believes that we're going to get more and more of this as the years progress, and that we just need to start investing more. He was asked in a question after the lunch if he was going to confer with some other cities that do it well, and he said indeed he would. He would be sending this working committee to meet with some other cities to see what they're doing. And also, this is another interesting one. The team of weather people and equipment and all the things that they do at Hartsfield-Jackson, apparently that's our airport in case you're wondering what I'm talking about. At Hartsfield-Jackson, apparently they have like some of the best weather predicting, you know, technology, and they are on top of it. So they were on top of this. They were salting the runways and they were, you know, managing the gates and closing flights when they needed to. They were all on top of it, where the city of Atlanta and all the surrounding metro Atlanta was not. So one of the other efforts is going to be sort of to coordinate with that knowledge that's coming out of the airport and make sure we have a better understanding of what's coming. I was going to say this earlier, and we do have another clip this segment, so I got to get to that. But I was going to say this earlier. I think one of the big problems, and again, you know, ponder this, take it as you will, but I think we are so accustomed to hearing that the sky is falling all the time by the weather people, and then it doesn't fall. And so then we just don't pay attention. So the weather people did say, it's going to snow, folks. And we said, yeah, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like we just are so used to, because there's so much hype, winter storm watch, whatever, and weather advisory this, and coming to you from the storm tracker, blah, blah, blah. And we just sort of don't pay attention anymore.
I was one of those people. Sadly, I was not prepared for this.
Right. I was too. I like I said, I went to lunch on Tuesday not giving it a second thought. I just went and thought, oh yeah, it's going to snow and I'll drive home in the snow. Big deal.
Because that's happened plenty, like I said earlier, that's happened plenty of times where it snows just for a little while and then it stops. And
yeah.
No problem with the roads.
I know. So I think part of the problem is we just don't care. We just don't pay, not that we don't care. We don't take it seriously. Yeah. We don't take it seriously. There's so many, the sky is falling sort of things that we're just sort of like, yeah, the sky's not actually falling and I'm not going to worry about this. And that was sort of a mass mistake in the city of Atlanta this week. All right. I want to completely shift gears and move to our clip from the Gwinnett Business Radio studio over at Business Radio X. This show aired also on Tuesday before the disaster. And featured in this clip is Jane Stewart from the Georgia SPCA. And she's talking about what's going on over there. So take a listen.
Last year we did over 1,300 adoptions. We're very proud of that. And it was pretty much 50-50. You know, some people are only cat people and some people are only dog people. And then we've got, you know, kind of the crossovers, which would be myself. But we love both of them and we find homes for both. So
she answered that question so well, Mike. She didn't quite want to take sides and the facts back her up.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, and you have the cat room. You have a couple cat rooms, I believe, where
we
you can
do.
Actually walk in and play with the...
We do.
Feline friends,
yes.
If you will.
They're called free roam cat rooms, and we do have two of them.
And you guys, and you mentioned the expansion. I mean, you've expanded, you know, quite well over the years. I mean, you're almost got half the strip mall there, off Buford Highway. But I don't want folks to think, okay, oh, they've got plenty of money now. I mean, it's, I'm sure, always a challenge. I mean, year in and year out, you've got to work hard to keep the doors open.
Absolutely, we do. We're always looking. Someone referred told me that I needed to think of us as a non-rescue facility, but we really have to look at ourselves as a fundraising entity, because without those funds, of course, we're very limited as to what we could do. So, you know, we do get some money from our adoptions, but it's hard to cover the medical cost of the cats and dogs that come through the door when you figure probably 95% of them are not altered when they come in. Most of the animals at Animal Control are not altered, and that's, you know, one of the big reasons we have so many of them needing homes. But yes, we have to cover medical expenses. We do have a paid staff in addition to our volunteers, so it takes quite a bit of money to keep it going.
So again, that was the Gwinnett Business Radio show over on businessradiox.com. And the reason I thought that was interesting is just because I think, you know, in addition to liking to highlight cool technology and stuff, I also like to sort of bring nonprofits some attention on the show, because, you know, they always need help getting their missions accomplished. And I think one of the interesting things is just that she said, you know, we have to think of ourselves as a fundraising organization. And that's really true for all nonprofits, no matter what their goal is. You know, if their goal is, you know, curing cancer or, you know, heart disease, or if it's helping the animals or whatever it is, they can't be solely focused on what they're trying to do. They have to spend a large part of their focus on raising money in order to do it, which is kind of interesting. If you're starting a new nonprofit, you got to think about those things that way. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will have a little bit more on the mayor's agenda for the year outside of the snow, and we will talk some more. I keep promising to talk about the Super Bowl commercials. I swear we're doing it after the break. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. It's the Business Radio X Week in Review. I'm Dana Barrett, and I am now going to talk about the Super Bowl ads, because I promised I would, and I think it's really, I love all the stuff. I'm not a big football fan. Some years I've been more into it than others. The last few, I just haven't been that into it. But I used to really like the commercials, and I used to like watching the Super Bowl a lot of times for the halftime show and the commercials. And I would, you know, I enjoy the game if it was a good, a lot of times the Super Bowls are blowouts, so the game itself isn't usually that great, or isn't always that great, I should say. But, you know, now I got this email this morning from Hulu. I'm a member of Hulu Plus, and I get this email saying, go check out, you know, the previews of the Super Bowl commercials on Hulu. And it looked like this is maybe the fourth year that they've done that, because it said commercial, it's called like Ad Zone 4 or something like that. And you can vote on which commercials you like. Now, all of the commercials were not on there in their entirety, but some of them were, and some of them were just like the first few seconds of it. So you'd get tantalized enough to want to watch the Super Bowl, I guess, and see it for real. Here's what I got out of it this year. Budweiser, in addition to doing some famous people stuff are also going for like the feel good. They had two commercials on the preview that I got teared up over. And I questioned that. Yes, the puppy and the horse. I'm just saying, look out for it. And the soldiers welcome home. Both were like tearjerkers. How do you feel about like standing around being a macho man at like a Super Bowl party and the Bud commercial comes on and you get a tear in your eye? I don't know if that really works. I think those commercials might be better for like the Hallmark Channel or the Oscars, maybe. Maybe not so much for the Super Bowl. But anyway, using megastars appears to be the trend over the last couple of years. This year, James Franco is doing a Ford commercial. And let's see who else is doing stuff. Stephen Colbert is pitching pistachios. Scarlett Johansson pitching SodaStream. And Arnold Schwarzenegger and Don Cheadle for Budweiser. So lots of big names. These commercials are outrageously expensive. These brands are paying huge, huge amounts of money for the time on air, as well as for the big name celebrities, the production values of these commercials, all of that. Do they get their money's worth? That's my question. I don't have the answer, but I do wonder, like, is it really worth it, or is it just fun? Is it just something they do because it's cool? I mean, I don't know. Will people stop drinking Budweiser if they don't spend a bajillion dollars on commercials?
No.
But right, yeah. So I don't know. But, you know, it's part of the tradition now, and it's kind of fun. You know, Mike was saying to me on one of the breaks, I've been quoting you a lot today, Mike, I know you're quotable, that the commercials were like more exciting in the 90s. Like the last couple of years, there really hasn't been anything that's so earth-shattering.
Well, 2000s also. I don't want to say that was 20 years ago, but they kind of started in the 90s and kind of went into the early 2000s and in my opinion, have been treading downhill slightly ever since.
It's like, how much can they really do, I think, it's like how much like innovation can you really have in a 30-second commercial?
Well, you touched on it with the Budweiser commercials, how they made you tear jerking.
Warmed my heart.
That's
yeah.
not what Budweiser's. That's not what Budweiser's supposed to do. It's not what they've ever done. They're comedy. They're supposed to make you laugh.
Yeah, but it was
those in particular.
That's true. They weren't going for the laughs in these, though. Right. I'm sure that they will have others that are.
Of course, yeah.
So, anyway, interesting. Also, I have to say, not to offend anybody, but like the halftime show just not that exciting to me this year. Bruno Mars with the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Yeah, okay, fine, whatever. I don't know. That's just me.
I like the latter part more than Bruno Mars.
Yeah,
it's kind of mad at me.
Yeah, that's how I feel about it. Kind of wishy-washy, kind of so-so. All right, let me quickly go through some of the things the mayor... I have, and Mike can attest to this, I have news stories laid out all over the desk, headlines of all kind of things that happened this week in Atlanta. I don't have time for it. So
if you ever needed a two-hour show, this is the
today's
one.
The day.
This is the week you need with everything that happened.
I have stories about Bitcoin. I have stories about medical marijuana in Georgia. I have stories, people. You're just going to have to call me or I don't know because I got stuff. Anyway, let me tell you about some of the other things aside from fixing the snow situation here that the mayor wants to do. And then I do have a quick soapbox. I got to get the soapbox out. I got some stuff to complain about. All right. On the mayor's agenda, this is especially pertinent for our, you know, business station here. He talked about trying to have the city help fund high-tech startups so that they will stay here in Atlanta instead of being plucked up and moved to Palo Alto. He says he'll be taking two trips out to the West Coast to talk to some venture capitalists and investors and sort of figure out what we need to do to keep more tech business here in Atlanta and in Georgia. He also says he wants to retain more Atlanta area graduates who have technical degrees. They're not just people from Georgia Tech, but from all the area schools who have technical degrees. Right now, about 50% of them are staying here locally after they graduate. He wants to up that 5% per year and has a goal of reaching 75%. Also, as it relates to the snow, again, the infrastructure challenges here in Atlanta, the roads, the sidewalks, the bridges, the green space, trying to reinvest in all of that, says if we don't, we're going to be in big trouble. So that has to happen. And also mentioned the deepening of the Savannah port. That's been a project that's been talked about for quite some time. And he said, you know, it's critical for the state, certainly. But it's also critical for the city of Atlanta because the port supports at least 100,000 jobs in Atlanta. So anyway, a lot more. He mentioned the streetcar finishing in 2014, talked about plans to try to connect the streetcar to the Beltline, sees the Beltline as a major tourist attraction. Talked about Atlanta as a city for foreign investment, said that snow jam definitely hurt our reputation in that way. When cities are looking to invest here, if we can't handle ourselves in a snowstorm, that did not make us look good. But still, we are very popular for foreign investment. Hopefully that will continue. There's more, but I just don't have time for it. So just take my word for it. He had a lot to say. And I'll post it all on my website. Here we'll do a little shameless self-promotion. I'll post it all on my website later today at danabarrett.com. Check it out. All right. This is what I want to say, people. This is where the soapbox has to come out. So I'm at this luncheon, and the mayor's speaking, and someone gets up to ask a question. And tell me if this does not happen in every group situation you've ever been in, a classroom, a lecture, a book signing. People stand up to ask a question, and they have to tell their own story first before they ask the question. So I was a nurse for 15 years, and I care about healthcare because my dad was sick. And so my question is, what are you going to do about healthcare? Why is all that preamble necessary? Just ask the question. What are you going to do about healthcare? At the mayor's lunch, somebody did that with, you know, I'm from Michigan and we know how to deal with the snow up there. And, you know, when it snows, we go to work in 7 inches of snow and blah, 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 blah. And finally, the question was, are you going to confer with other cities about the snow? This is my advice to everyone who ever attends anything where you have the opportunity to stand up and ask a question. Just ask the question. Nobody wants to hear your personal story. You are not the paid speaker. No one is there to see you. Ask the question. Stop beating around the bush and wasting everybody's time. Everybody at my table was rolling their eyes when this woman asked the question. All right. So that's my complaint on that subject. And then I also want to go back to, I told you that I went to see the Book of Mormon at the Fox Theater this weekend, and I very much enjoyed it. It's very sassy. Everyone loved it. It was a full house, lots of laughter, lots of applause. It was really great. Two things. Well, several, maybe more than two that I have to complain about, though. First of all, I've complained. I don't know if I've complained on this show, but I have complained on the air about this in the past. When you go to see live theater, you do not get up and leave the theater during the curtain call. This is not a sporting event. It is not a concert where 40,000 people are in the audience. You are in a theater. No, you stay and you applaud the actors and then you leave. It's so rude when people do that. It's infuriating to me. First of all, you're walking in front of other people who are trying to do the right thing and stand up and applaud the actors and the singers and the orchestra. And you're getting in their way of enjoying what they paid a lot of money to go see. So that's problem number one. Problem number two, actors don't make that much money. I mean, yes, Brad Pitt and all those people make tons of money, but the ones that are acting on stage at the Fox in a traveling show, they don't make a ton of money. Part of why they do what they do is because of the applause, because of the appreciation of the audience, because they want to entertain you. And for you to get up and walk out as they are finishing, I just find it so incredibly rude. So be cognizant of what you're doing. Be cognizant of the people around you. And can I also say on the same token, you don't show up late for a show. I mean, I'm going to give people a pass. Sometimes it happens. Things happen. And I am late to a lot of things. So I should really be the last person to complain about that. But people, so many people came into that show late. They were walking in front of us, you know, for the first two numbers. Like, we sort of didn't get to enjoy the show in its entirety because you were late. And so no to your lateness and no to you leaving early. And can I also just say, why do you need to leave so early? Why? I mean, is it that important that you get in your car and get in traffic so you can get home? Come on. Give me a break. All right. I'm going to breathe now. I think I'll be okay. All right. That is basically our show for today. A quick reminder to check out the book signing of Dr. Tim Irwin, who wrote the book Impact, Great Leadership Changes Everything. That's at Barnes & Noble on the 4th. Also, to tune in to all the great programming on BusinessRadioX.com this week. We will see you back here next week. Have a great weekend. Let's pray for no more snow.